We would like to thank you for choosing this message preached by Pastor Richard at the Mercy Seat Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Your love and support allows us to establish the kingdom of God everywhere, in everyone, every day. If you would like additional information on how you can receive more of Pastor Richard's sermon material, please go to our website at mercyseat.org. And now, let us listen to a life-changing message by Pastor Richard Torres.
Extend your hand over this way, if you don't mind, and help me pray that God will speak to us today. I do believe this is an important day. It's not just the Sunday service. I think there is a divine appointment for all of us today in here. Let's pray. Father, I worship you and I thank you. Amazing King, wonderful Savior. You are, God, a loving Father. God, I don't know how, as Christians, at one point or another, we turn into condemning people. When that's not something that reflects who you are. You didn't came here to condemn us. But you came to us just to love on us, to save us, to restore us, to heal us. God, I pray that today you may do some of that in this place. That there may be some healing, some restoration. God, that something may take place today that will reflect your true nature. Which is not to condemn people, but to love on people, to save on people. Speak to us in a powerful way. God, I pray that there may be no limitations in me that will hinder the word today, but that it may come just as you meant it to be today, that you may speak to each one of us just the things that we need, God, appropriated to each of our situations. Speak in a powerful way. Do not allow me, God, to be the reason why someone is not blessed today, but through me, despite of me, whichever way, just be a blessing. Be a blessing to your people today. God, we're not here just to spend and have a good time. We're here because we need you. We're desperate for you. Some of us may think there is no way out. Some of us may think this is it. I don't know how this is going to change. So would you show up today and change someone's perspective today? In the name of Jesus, I pray and I believe that you will do an amazing thing today in this place. Thank you, Jesus. We pray. Amen. You may be sitting down. You may be seated. And I hope everybody got a hug. Everybody had a hug?
Yeah.
Somebody didn't get a hug? We have some good huggers in here. We'll send someone. Thank you, Jesus. Today we're starting a new series I'm particularly excited about. Don't mind the title. You ready for the title?
Yeah.
All right, let's see if I don't messed up. The who, where, what, and why about you. All right, let me go again. The who, where, what, and why about you. Who are you? Where are you? What are you doing? And why are you doing it? I believe these questions right here, being able to answer these questions here, will determine whether you get to where you're supposed to be or not. They may seem simple. But when you are asked, who are you, do you know? We're not asking, what do you do for a living? We're asking, who are you? And the reason why I said is because a lot of what we do is because we don't know who we are. And actually, they go in order. If you don't know who you are, you're not going to know where to go.
Yeah.
You're also not going to know what to do. If you don't know who you are, where you're going, what you're doing, you're never going to know why are you doing what you're doing today. And being able to answer those things, those simple questions, will help to make sure that you accomplish the very thing that you were created for. I don't know if you remember, but if you've been here for a few months, we opened up this year saying that God is getting ready, not getting ready, but starting to do a new thing in your life. Behold, I will do a new thing in your life. Behold, I will do a new thing in your life. And when we talk about God creating something new in your life, this is by no means similar to God rearranging things in your life. In other words, God creating something new in your life, it's not God rearranging things in your life so that they can look different. If you have a house, you know a lot of times you want to get creative so that you can get a new feeling of things. So you rearrange furniture around. You put that old couch that smells, that people can tell where you work based on that couch, that has an indention right where you sit right there. If you are in the mood for feeling something new around the house, what you do normally is you rearrange the furniture around. And the only thing that deals with is appearance. God is not necessarily concerned with your appearance. He doesn't want to rearrange furniture around. Because once you go back to that same couch, let me tell you, it doesn't matter where you place it in your house. It will still have that little section that everybody knows yours. I'm telling you, this is real. It happens. I didn't want to sit in my couch anymore after I found out that it actually goes down in certain places where you sit down. And so God is not in the business to rearrange your life. He wants to create something new. Because that couch, regardless of how many times you move it around, will still be an old couch. Probably will still have that smell. God is not in the business of rearranging people's life. He's in the business of creating new things in their lives. Would you like to take that old couch into your new house? God is creating something new in your life. And why is this important? You know, when you're creating something new, rearranging things, moving things around is not enough. You actually have to take things down. Walls come down. For a long time, I did a lot of work in the Highland Park area in Dallas. You know, there's very expensive. Well, there was some areas there that still had old little houses. And investors will come in there and will purchase not necessarily the house, but the land that the house was sitting on. And let me tell you, they don't rearrange things around. They come and they create something new in that land. God purchased a land a long time ago, redeemed it. And he's not going to pay so much for that piece of land just to come and put some touch-ups on it, just to patch a little bit of sheetrock there, just to paint a little bit here and there, just to move the furniture around. No, he's invested too much in that property so that he will actually take it all down and build something new in there. Now, that is a painful process because I know we'll all rather get just a little bit of a makeover, just something that will make us appear better than what we used to be. And as soon as we feel that that is doing the trick, we're good. Out there. Let me tell you, there are some odors in a house that even after you painted the house and put new carpet in, they're still around. You know what would help? Removing the sheetrock. Yes. Gut it all out. And God does that in our lives. When he's creating something new, that's exactly what he does. So when you see everything around you falling apart, you may be in a work zone. God is creating something new. You want that same old house? In that expensive land? No. You want something new, don't you? So, he's taking everything down. And I don't know about you, but lately feels like things are falling apart. Lately feels like things are falling apart. And while we can sit down and complain and say, I can't believe God has forgotten about me. We may be ignoring the fact that all he may be doing at this stage in your life is creating something new. That before you can have a new floor planned, one has to be demolished, destroyed. And here is the thing. Who are you while this is taking place? How do you know who you are when all you see is pieces of you just around all over the place? Who are you? How can you find out that you're in the right place, that you're going in the right direction, if you don't know who you are? We have to be able to answer who we are regardless of whatever stage we find ourselves in while God is creating something new. It is difficult to see a piece of you on that side while something else of you is on this side. And they don't seem to come together. And everything around you looks like chaos. Everything around you looks like chaos. I don't know if someone's life looks like chaos around right now. Let me tell you a difference between a wall falling apart and a wall being taken down. The chaos that you see around your life, it is controlled chaos. It's a controlled chaos. In other words, it is not just a coincidence. It is not just not being able to control things. No, the things that you see around are being controlled by an almighty, powerful God that is creating something good in your life, something new, something that will bring glory to his name. So who are you? Who are you? During this next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the who, where, what, and why about you. And today we're starting with who are you? In all of this mess, in all of the situations, in all this chaos that may be around your life, who are you? Who are you? And so I want to share, we're going to go to the scripture here in a minute. We do use the Bible to preach in this place. We'll be there in a minute. I do want to share a few things before we got there. There are many factors I know, you know, that contribute to your identity, to who you are. You probably are already thinking of some of those. There are factors that influence who you are today. And some of those are mentioned by Jesus himself when he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" So, do you think people have the ability to influence who you are? The identity? More than what you can imagine. People make you do things you don't want to do. All they need is just to come and tell you something in the ear that no one else is hearing but you. She said she doesn't like you because you talk too much. She said, "What? I didn't even like her. That I know why I didn't like her in the beginning. Now you engage in a tough situation with someone who didn't even say anything." People will influence or contribute to your identity, to who you are. Mom and dad, do you think they contribute? If your dad was a carpenter, what do you think he wants you to be? You know, you may think, well, that shouldn't be that way. You know, parents want their kids to succeed and be better and this and that. Yes, sometimes. But unfortunately, there are many times that expectations are placed on kids that now drive them to be what they were not intended or were not created to be. Or you have to be a doctor. Just because I couldn't be a doctor, now you have to be a doctor. The things that I wasn't able to do, you have to do. You want them to live your dream. That's nice. Mom and dad, you know, their perceptions, their thoughts, their comments, all of that, their instructions, how you were instructed contributes to who you are today. Did you remember hearing, "Don't do this"? Don't do that. Don't be part of that. Don't be part of this. Don't go there. I don't want you to be being friends with that person. All of those things contribute to who you are today. How about a last name? Do you think that contributes to who you are? For good? For bad? Yes. How about reputation? The things that you do over and over and over. It doesn't matter what it is. You will be named after that. If you did it one time, you could probably now face the consequences of being named after that. Just imagine if you're driving on the road, a lot of people around, people know you, and all of a sudden there is a dog that comes across and you kill the dog just by accident. You're a dog killer now. Give me a break. It was an accident. It was one time. No. You become that one thing. You see, there's a lot of things that could influence who you are. But I want to tell you that God has placed a few stages that we'll go through that help us get to become who we are or who we're created to be. In our journey to be who we were created to be, so that you can answer who you are, there are three stages that I want to share with you today. And that's where we're going to go to the Bible in Exodus chapter 2. There are three stages that determined who you are, or that will provide the tools for you to discover who you are, for you to become who you were created. Exodus chapter 2, verse 2. And as we go and see these three stages, I will like to say in advance that each one of us will find ourselves in one of these three stages. But not only that, regardless of where you are, this actually become a cycle that repeat over and over and over. You know why? Because who you are changes constantly. It does. There is only one who doesn't change. He doesn't change, but you and I change. You are not the same today as the one you were 5 years ago. Yes, you should say, "Thank you, Jesus." Yes, so number one, verse 2. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, good looking, she hid him 3 months. Let's just stop right there. You know who we're talking about right here? Moses. We're talking about Moses. We're going to use Moses' life to talk about three different stages that you and I will find ourselves in that journey to know who we are, to find who we are, to manifest who we are, to express who we are, to live who we are. And the first stage of finding who we are, of getting this identity, it starts with conception. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was good looking, she hid him for 3 months. So the first one is, the first stage is conception. Something comes alive. Recognition of a new identity is conceived. We all have this moment. We all have this moment. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. There are two things in here that often are talked as one: vocation and calling. They're two things, not one thing. One comes before the other. One was there since the beginning. That's how you were created. That's how you were designed. And then later on, there is what I believe Paul calls a high calling, which is the connection between your vocation and your calling. That is the conception stage. Whenever you find out what is it that you were created for, when you find out who you really are, we all have that moment. And if you have not had that moment, let me tell you, it could be just minutes away. It could be literally just minutes away. All you need is for God to just speak something into your life. So when this clicks, it's when this amazing, amazing thing happens. Your vocation, it's the things that you are naturally good at. You were born with these things, with these abilities. Some people may be good speakers just because that's inside of them. They didn't have to practice. They didn't have to learn. They didn't have to study. They just automatically, it's just natural to them. Some others are great singers. Great singers. They can just hear a song and automatically sing it. I have to hear a song, and then I have to practice a song, and then I have to memorize a song, and then I have to practice again, and then hours later, I still miss 90% of the notes of that song. Any in here sings? No? Oh, she sings. So you couldn't relate with me. Moses had his moment where it clicked. Do you remember what Peter was doing when Jesus called him? He was fishing. It was clear what his vocation was. He was a fisherman. And what did he become? A fisher of men. There is a link between your vocation and your calling, because God created you. He designed you. Everything around you, everything in you was designed with a purpose. And there will be a moment where the two will meet, and that is the conception stage. Moses, Exodus chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Remember this encounter after he saw the burning bush and God told him, hey, I'm aware of the pain. I'm aware of the affliction. I am aware of what they're going through. I am going to deliver them. Just a few verses later, he says, this is how I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to send you to do that. That's an exciting thing to hear. You may think, I'm sorry, God, I didn't qualify for this. I didn't apply for this job. I'm not interested in this. Thank you anyways. No, you know why he did it? Because that was already inside of him. Do you remember why is it that he ended up in the desert? While he was in Egypt, something happened that caused him to flee. And that's where God met him. At this time, he's almost 80 years old. Some time has gone by. But the reason why he was there is because he already had a vocation inside of him that couldn't hold anymore. So the calling of God over your life, all that is doing is just bringing a confirmation and providing you a new identity that has already been lingering inside of you for a long time. He already had a desire inside of him to be able to provide for the need of the people of Israel. They were being oppressed. They were being abused. And what he did is when he saw an Egyptian mistreating one of his brothers, he went and took care of it. He didn't realize that someone else saw it. And after he was confronted with it, he decided to flee away. When God tells him this, it might have been something like, you know what, this is too much for me. But inside, deep inside of him, he knew that that's what he was created for. Now he's finding and saying, you know what, that's why I felt that way in that moment. That is why I went through this situation. That is why all of these things around me took place in that time. Because all of that was part of a master plan where God was preparing me for such a calling as this. Conception. It's where it clicks. Oh, you get it now. Now it makes sense. Why some of the suffering? Why some of the things that you go through? Why some of the things that you have experienced? Conception. First stage is conception. Verse 2 again, please. We're going to go to the second stage, which you know what it is. I don't know if I'll pronounce it correctly. You guys can always help me. Gestation. 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 First stage, conception. You receive, in whatever way this is, a new identity. Now you have something to look for. Now you have something to fight for. Now God is introducing a new identity that you were not aware of. You mean that I can be this? You mean that I can do this? You mean that I can one day preach? You mean that I can one day sing? You mean that one day I can do this? Conception. It's a seed. Conception. Now, gestation. Verse 2 again. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him. She hid him 3 months. They shouldn't have put when she saw him that he was good looking. They shouldn't have put that in there. What about the ones that we were not good looking? That doesn't seem fair. Oh, this is beautiful. Okay, we'll keep him. Not good. Gestation. I'll be honest with you. This stage here is probably where most of us are in. I mean, you know Christ. You know God. He's done something in your life. He's presented to you what your life should look like. Abundant life. We just finished a series on abundant life. And now you find yourself developing that. That's what the gestation does. That's where it develops in this stage. And the reason why I said is we find ourselves in this stage. And at the same time, it's probably the toughest one of the stages. No one likes to be on this stage. There are two things that are obvious in this stage. One of them is I'm no longer happy with what I used to be. When you receive a new identity, something that brings a contrast with what you used to be, you're no longer happy with what you used to be. You're no longer happy. It messes you up. I was fine. Now I'm miserable. Prior to hearing my calling and understanding the potential that could be in my life, prior to that, I was fine settling for whatever was around. Now that you know what God wants to do in your life, all of a sudden you have something ahead that is obviously not here yet. So I'm no longer happy with what I have been, and I am not who I want to be either. You're stuck in the middle. You can't go that way because you're not happy with that anymore, but yet you're not there either. This is the development process. Every environment that you are placed in is to prepare you. Verse 3, please. Let's read verse 2 again and then 3. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes. And dabbed it with slime, and with pitch. You got to be careful with that one. and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flax by the river's brink. And I say that respectfully, because since I have an accent, I can have an accident with it. Sorry. Thinking of one word while I'm not even there yet. I don't want you to think that I had an accident when it's just my accent. So, yes. Which I could still have an accident, but anyways. Let's hope it doesn't happen here. It happens on the Spanish service instead. The development starts. One of the things that in finding out who we are, once we conceive the idea of who we are, now the gestation stage begins. And now we're being developed. There is a developing process that has to take place. So being aware that there is such a thing, in other words, you understanding who you are, and now knowing that where you are right now may be just what is preparing you so that you can become who you are. Does that make sense? Will allow you to do things and see things differently. One of the first things we do when we have something we don't like is we quit it. We abort it. You go somewhere else. You walk away. So, Moses is born, and since they can't hold him anymore, they put him out by the river and in an effort to protect him. Now, not knowing that this was actually what would be starting the development of a great leader. This part of his life, the separation, the what many could have thought of rejection, was what started the process of preparation, of development. From infancy all the way to adulthood, there are circumstances in your life that the only thing they're doing is preparing you for who you are, so that you can become what you were created to be. Situations, circumstances, places. What about relationships? All of this God is putting together so that you can be developed into who you were created to be. Even the boss that you don't like is contributing in the development during this the gestation stage. People you don't like, we all like all people, are also contributing. This is where I actually find interesting on the gestation stage, is that gestation, something we don't like, is done, or gestation is not visible to people. I think that's the toughest part. We don't mind the development. We don't want the preparation. When you're training, if someone is watching you train, it's good, right? You're running, you're exercising, you're sweating, it looks like you're doing something. You don't mind people watching that part of it. But guess what? You have to train, you have to work even when no one is looking. So gestation is done enclosed. Incubation? Not outcubation? Incubation? Inside? When the gestation stage begins, there is a layer of protection that not only protects you from things. In this case, that gestation process was protecting Moses. You know, he chose the worst time in his era to be born. Seriously. Before he was even born, the midwives were instructed to kill every male that was born. But they saw him, and he was beautiful. They said, no, we can't kill this one. Just kidding. The midwives feared God, and they said, we're not going to do that. And so when he was 3 months, they could no longer protect him there. Now they had to find a different way to protect him. But God was protecting him. Gestation is not visible where people can see what you're doing. Now, if we are honest, I think God does that on purpose. I don't think people will enjoy your reactions while you're being prepared. You should be glad that that is done and closed, so they don't get to see the ugly. They don't get to see how weak you are. I would say, I won't say it. Why is it not visible for people? Number one, he's protecting you. He's protecting you. When he was hidden, it was for protection. When you are hidden, it's for the same thing, for protection. I don't know if you remember, but David was anointed as king over Israel. He was anointed as king. And when he was anointed as king, it was not done in public. It was kept in secret. It was the gestation stage. He had to be developed. He had to be prepared. All of that was done in secret. And you wonder why people don't know about how wonderful you are. I know you have great gifts. I know you do. And it is not a coincidence that only a few people know and can see that. Many people are not able to see how wonderful you are. They don't even believe it. You know it. You know there is a tremendous potential in your life, yet God is keeping you hidden. I try to avoid that word, hidden, because I heard a preaching that was based on that word. Bishop Jakes was, not too long ago, was preaching on, I think the message was, he hid me. You know, God was hiding me. And I was able to relate with that. Because while you are enclosed and God is working with you, and you think you're ready and you think you're desperate to go and minister and do what you're supposed to be doing, and you get upset because the opportunities don't come, what God is doing in hiding you is protecting you. And when he was speaking about it, I remember a specific time in my life where I was getting upset of where I was, where I think it was not fair. I thought I was ready. I thought it was the time, it was the moment, and yet God was keeping me away. He was not allowing me to be exposed. And that is a cycle. It goes, as you go into the next level, you will stay hidden for a little bit. And as you go into the next level, you will stay hitting for a little bit. You know, you don't realize that when God doesn't allow you to take part on some things or receive some things, many times it's to protect you. We want ministry so hard, so bad, in the way that we see others operate, and we don't realize the danger that comes, or that comes with that type of ministry. All we see is the outside. And when God doesn't open those doors, it's because he's protecting us. He's hiding us to protect us. I have one of our clients. It's a CEO of a major corporation. And while that sounds very exciting, you know, that kind of job and title and all of that, there is a reason why not everybody has that position. And a lot of times we want such a position before time. And you know what happens when you get such a responsibility before time? Your marriage may be in danger. Your kids may be in danger. Your own career may be in danger. It has to be in the right time so that we can get things done as God wanted them to be. So God will hide you. You will be unknown. People will notice you and the potential you have just because God is protecting you. Amen? So the gestation stage, God is developing things in us. We don't like that stage. We don't like to be developed. Last one, last stage. Verse 11, 12, and 13. So first stage of this journey is the conception stage. Second stage is gestation stage, just being prepared. God is molding us, and he likes to do that in secret. Not where everybody's seeing what is taking place in your life. The last one, I called it manifestation. I don't know if you would call it birth, since we're talking about conception, gestation, and birth. Manifestation, verse 11, 12, and 13. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men out of the Hebrews strove together and said to him, What did the wrong? Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? Next verse. And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. The manifestation. This is an awkward transition for all of us. In other words, you know who you are by revelation. You know who you are by God speaking into your life. Now, you've been developed, you've been trained, you've went through the process that God requires or puts in us to develop us to the point that now we can manifest who we are, who we have become. The reason why this is an awkward transition is because you're stepping into your calling. It is no longer just a vocation. Now it is linked to your calling, and you're executing the very thing that you were created for. And the reason why this is awkward is because we struggle now with two full identities. You've been developed for a long time, so the thing that God is creating in your life is ready to go. But guess what? You still own this thing right here that has experiences, that has knowledge, that remembers things. And so you find yourself battling in this contrast between the two natures that you have. And the problem is that you're not the only one that notices that. People around you also notice that. And guess what they do? They call on the old nature. You know that Jacob was changed, his name was changed, and it was not chapters later before they stopped calling him Jacob. You will no longer be called Jacob, now you're Israel. But guess what? The very next chapter that it opens up, it says, and Jacob did this. Now you're operating under two different natures, but people keep calling on the old one. And the problem is that you're not familiar. You're still learning how this new one will operate. And that's what was happening with Moses. As he was trying to step into his calling, he found in an awkward place. And this is where it really gets uncomfortable for most of us. Because in this process, he went and did what he thought was right to do, what his calling was right. And what he did, the only thing that cost him is to be in the middle, not on one side and not on the other. He defended one of his brothers, but yet the next day he was rejected by the very people that he defended. He had to flee. He had to go away. In other words, we will find a point in life where we don't fit here and we don't fit here. Where is it that I am supposed to go? What is it that I am supposed to do? I know who I am. But yet, it seems like people around me don't recognize that yet. And I'm not going to go back to my old ways. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go to a desert just like Moses went? There is not one nearby here. I'll have to go to, what, Arizona? El Paso? There is not one. Let me tell you, the main thing, the biggest thing that he found in the desert was the burning bush. And that you can find right here. Right here. One of the key things in this stage is finding that burning bush that will bring the confirmation to you're ready. This is the time you need to go. It's the burning bush that God will just confirm the calling that it is in your life. I don't know if you have felt or if you feel lonely and there is no way to flee. You don't belong here. You don't belong there. You're not one of Pharaoh's, and yet your people is not accepting you. If you feel lonely, all you need is to be able to see that burning bush. And that can be found in your closet, in the kitchen. Yes, in the kitchen. You may see a pan burning on fire, no oil around. No fire underneath, and you see the fire going, and you hear a voice. I know what's inside of you, because I put it there. And I know you heard my voice. And I know it's been a long journey of preparation. Times where you didn't feel like you belong here and there, but I am the one that called you, and you will be able to fulfill my calling. I want to close. So the three stages, conception, hearing what God is calling you to, who you are according to God. The gestation, the preparation, the hiding, the separation, the being ignored, the being forgotten. Can you imagine? Moses was 40 years old approximately whenever he made an attempt to fulfill his calling. 40 years old. I don't know how old he was when he realized that, hey, I'm not an Egyptian. Though his name was, I am not one of these people. And I don't know if at one point or another he said, you know what, I'm going home. I miss my mama. I don't want to do this no more. 40 years later, he made an attempt. You know, when we can't stand 6 months of process. 1 year. Oh, it's been a very, very rough year. It's been very difficult. People have been mean to me for a year now. 40 years with something in your mind that you knew you should do, and yet you're still waiting for God to open the door and say, this is the time. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been in the back burner. But it's not a good place to be. It doesn't feel good. I would like to be in the front seat and on the driving side of it. And yet we're put in the back seat. And we're told, where are we going? I want to close with this. Psalms 139, verse 14, 15, and 16. The stages of becoming who we are, that we go through, are really just to make us aware of where we could be. There is really nothing out of that just by itself that you will get you to go on to the other side, other than just knowing where you are. Your identity or who you are, it's given to you by God. It's given to you by God. Who you are is given to you by God. Now, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Anybody agree with that? Let's try it again then. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Any amens? Do you have this scripture in front of the mirror when you get ready? Or no? Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. In other words, God, you do wonderful things. Just look at me, God. You do wonderful things. That's what that verse is saying. You're like, God, you should have stopped, man. You just kept on going. Put that on the mirror and read it every day as you look at yourself. I'm not kidding. This is a human being speaking to God. Next one. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. He was made in secret. You were made in secret. Prepared, developed in secret when no one was watching, when no one was cheering you out, when no one was just clapping and saying, oh, look, he's turning out to be really good. No. And curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned. That right there, a book, everything was written in the book, and which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. God fashioned you, designed you. So who you are, it is something that you can get out of this book. When you read about God, you will find who you are, since he created you. He designed you. So the stages are not to help you be somebody. They're just to make you aware of how the process works. You get that information from him by looking at you, your vocation. What is it that makes you? What is it that moves your heart? And then hearing the high calling that is linked to those very things. First stage. Stage number two, endure the preparation. Be okay with being away from mom as a baby. Be okay with being hidden when you think you're too wonderful to be hidden. You think you should be in the display on the front of the building. And yet they have you in the back cleaning the bathrooms. Now, your identity, who you are, is given by God. Now, who you are is shaped by the need around you. You may stand as we're closing with this. Who you are is shaped by the need around you. So you're wonderfully made, designed, everything about you. In these stages, you need to know that the need around you is what shapes who you are. Do you know that Moses will not be Moses without the oppression of the Egyptians? They needed to be oppressed. So there will be a leader that will set them free. We are known. What you are known for is based on the circumstances that you overcome. As the church, we need to answer who we are. And that is defined by the need around us. I don't want this church to be a Sunday morning church only. I want us to go out in the community and change people's life out there. Seeing almost a full church here is a wonderful thing. I love to see as many people in here as possible. But the need outside, it's what will define who we are. God already placed everything inside of us. Our vocation, it's already inside of us. The calling is ready. Our need is waiting so that we can now become what we were called to be. So the very thing that you think is killing you, the Egyptians, the very thing that you think is killing you, it's what God is using to give you an identity. Identity. I'm going to close with this and I'll pray. Third is the charm. Okay. Where you see crisis, God sees opportunity. Where you see need, God sees potential. Where you see pain, God sees growth. Where you see awkwardness, God sees expansion. I don't know if you're seeing any of those things. Crisis, need, pain, awkwardness. You don't belong here. But for every one of those, God sees something wonderful. If there is crisis in your life, it's a wonderful opportunity for new walls to come up. If you see need in your life, there is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for the true potential to come out of you. Where you see pain, maybe God providing growth in your life. Where you see awkwardness, He might just be expanding your territory, things around you. Let's pray. Right where you are, I'm going to pray that God will just touch your life. And if you don't know who you are, I hope you can stick around. I hope you can stick around. Don't quit the process. Father, I praise you and I thank you for such a wonderful family in this place. Wonderful, wonderful family in this place. I pray that you may move in a special way. God, answering the question who we are may be more difficult than what we give thought to. Knowing really who we are will determine, God, whether we will accomplish what we were created.